T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tony! Let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until Cubs baseball. The second part of this doubleheader will start a little bit after 7 o'clock tonight. I got you until then. The phone number, I would imagine you would like to use it after the first game that the Cubs played today. 312-644-6767. You can text us if you wish. 67011 is the number that you would text us on. No guests on the show tonight, but we would like to tell you that we have the CarX and Tire Hotline. We appreciate them for being a part of the show. I am on Twitter and Instagram. It's the same tag, at Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. So here we are with the Cubs sitting at 16-16 through 32 games this year. It's been, the last week has just been weird because of some of the circumstances that have happened. You've had these extra inning games. There was the Yankees sweep. There was the stupid 18-inning game that went on that kind of puts you behind the eight ball as the team flies out to Colorado. Then they get the hailstorm in Denver and end up having to play a doubleheader today after being at the ballpark last night and not playing a game. Luckily, I felt like they called it at least with enough time the guys could kind of take a deep breath, go back to bed, get a good night's sleep, and get ready for two games. You're probably looking at some of the big picture issues with the Cubs right now, and I completely understand that. That when you look at the Cubs rotation right now, it doesn't look strong. It doesn't look like it's championship timber. It doesn't look like what you would hope it would be. I will say, I remember listening to Hit and Run the day the season began, and Joe and Barry were talking about, well, if we were looking for a weakness on this team, that weakness could be, and it's funny, they kind of spelled it out. Well, John Lackey looking old, and Jake Arrieta maybe not being as sharp. And then you say, well, Kyle Hendricks has got a lot of miles on him, a lot of innings on him from last year. Is he going to be strong at the beginning of the season? You're actually seeing pretty much all of those things happen to the Cubs. I don't know. I hate using the word panic, especially when we're talking about 6 weeks of baseball. I will say that that is something that I'm looking at. Like every Arrieta start, going back to second start of the season, you're like, something is not quite right with Jake. And you saw it again today where some of those, clearly, you know, there's a couple of bloops in there, a couple of, there's the ball that is in between Almora and Schwarber, and I would rather them not run into each other than trying to make a spectacular catch on that ball. But he is just getting peppered. 9 hits today, 5 earned runs for him. That ERA is now at 5.35 for Jake Arrieta. And when you start looking at his starts so far this season, there have been some ugly starts. There have been some starts where he struck out 10, but there have been a lot of ugly starts for him. In the start in Boston, for example, where he gives up 10 hits in 4 1/3. This start in Colorado, I mean, so now you're talking about a decent start against the Phillies sandwiched in between 2 terrible starts. And the rest of his starts have just kind of been, other than, you know, opening day, second game of the season, but you're still looking at the velocity and going, he's not quite right. I want to take you back, and before, if you want to jump in and talk a little bit about the Cubs, I would be down for that. I want to go back to the Boers and Bernstein show because Jake Arrieta is now on with them twice a month. Last week, he talked with the boys, and there's a couple things I wanted you to hear from Jake. Jason asked him a really good question, something that I was paying attention to, too, whether it's him throwing the changeup or the curveball more. Jay asked him, why are you doing that?
No, I just think the feel for certain things hasn't necessarily been there. The curveball has been really good all year. Mechanically, in my last start, there were some things that I didn't like at all.
What was happening?
I was way too far across my body, and that's something that naturally I'm going to be a little bit crossfire, to begin with. But I was way too far across my body, which was affecting some command, affecting the location of my slider, my cutter. But yesterday I got on the mound trying to iron some things out. I'm going to do the same thing again. Probably throw a light touch and feel before tomorrow and just get back on track. You know, this is a game that can really baffle you, you know, from 1 week to the next. And that's why it's our job to come in here every day and try and right the ship. And even if, you know, things are going well, you still want to try and stay locked in and keep things, going in a positive direction. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do is just correct some small adjustments and try and be better next time out. Cause I know there's, each and every day there's something to get better at. And, you know, today's no different, than yesterday.
Well, what's different is that before going through most of last year, I think there were some starts at the end of Jake's season last year where it fell away. But before, you felt like you were going to see a dominant performance from Jake Arrieta. Not good, dominant. And now, and Brian Kenny just tweeted this out a little while ago, Jake Arrieta from July 15 to June of 16 had an ERA of 1.42. Since then, so back to July of last year to now, his ERA is 4.53. That's a hell of a jump. Three runs, that's a hell of a jump. And he is I guess you can kind of hold him up as the poster child of what's wrong with the Cubs at the beginning of the season where we're talking about a 500 team. Now, I don't think that any of us expected, I know that I didn't, expect them to be a 24-6 team, although I think there's maybe a run like that there. But at the beginning of the season, I wasn't expecting it. But I also wasn't expecting them to be, for lack of a better term, this bad. And there are a lot of phases of their game where they're not strong this year. The lineup itself doesn't turn over as much as you would like for it to turn over. The defense hasn't been what we thought it would be. But I think the most important part is that the Cubs are not getting good quality starting pitching. When we look at John Lester and his performance on Sunday and go, it's an anomaly from Cubs starters this year. And it has been. That is the truth. I'm not sure what they do. When I look at the Cubs, I look at them as being in a point on their horizon as a championship caliber team. They're right there. So how much do you mortgage? How what do you give away and what are you trying to get back if you're the Cubs? Is this a problem that can be fixed from your minor leagues? Probably not. That's not really what this regime of Cubs management does. They haven't necessarily groomed major league ready starters. That takes some time also. But they, during their tenure, that's not really what they've done. They've done a great job as far as the position players go, as far as getting the bats out there. But starting pitching has been a bit of a weakness for them. So now the Cubs are stuck in a really odd situation where they may have to give away some of that young talent if they feel like they're still good enough to compete for a World Series. One of the things I'm going to talk about with Dan, because I'm hosting with Dan on Thursday, is you know, there comes a point when a championship season needs to be let go of, that we need to stop looking at them through the prism of the 2016 world champion Chicago Cubs and look at the reality of what's on the field every day. No, and given some preferential or deferential treatment to the guys that have performed that are still in a good age window to think that they're still capable of performing. But there are some aging assets on the Cubs. John Lackey, the aging arm of Jake Arrieta, more so about the miles than about his actual age. Ben Zobrist. And there are the chemistry components, stuff that we'll never be able to quantify. Additions and subtractions to a team that we'll never be able to quantify when it comes to looking at them as an entity. There's a lot to think about. Another piece of tape that I want you to hear from Jake Arrieta. This is him with Dan and Jay talking about how he knows things are going wrong.
Well, I think you get to a certain point in your career where you have to be your own coach. You can pick things out on video and other people can kind of tell you what they see, but we feel it. You know, we're the ones out there executing the pitches or not executing the pitches. And, you know, I think there's a majority of the time where you have to try and correct it yourself, you know, in between innings, in between pitches, so on and so forth. So for me, in Boston, I knew that I was off mechanically, but it was at a point where, you know, I wasn't going to think about mechanics too much after the first inning. At that point, I was saying, okay, like, I got to compete. I got to find a way to get deep into this ball game, and then I'll deal with the adjustments, you know, after the fact, the next day or on my side day. Because if you get too caught up in mechanics when you're out there trying to compete and get guys out at the big league level, it's probably not going to work out so well for you. So that's really my mindset. I knew something was off, and I knew what it was. I just wasn't going to harp on it too much at the time in game and competition, because that can really tend to go the opposite way for you. But yeah, some guys are different. You know, some guys want some insight from somebody in between innings, and some guys just kind of want to battle through it and figure it out, after the outing. And I think sometimes that's really the best way to go.
Jake may want to take somebody's advice at this point, because now it's just not a couple of starts here and there. It's a trend that goes all the way back to last July with him. And it's troubling. The Chicago Baseball Game Day schedule is presented by Indeed.com. The Cubs take on the Rockies tonight. We'll have the pregame starting at 7:05. The White Sox are going to host the Twins. That's today's Chicago baseball schedule, brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site. Say it with me. Indeed.com. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to call in, talk a little bit about the Cubs. I am looking at my text screen right now, and the way you can text the show is 67011. And I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 text messages bringing up the same idea. Should the Cubs make a trade for Jose Quintana? It's funny that you should ask that, texters, because the White Sox general manager addressed making a deal with the Cubs just a few minutes ago. And we're going to share his thoughts with you on that next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
0-1, fly ball to right center. It'll drive in the run. Bryant chasing, can't get it. One hop against the wall. LeMahieu goes to second with a sliding double, and the ball game is tied 1-1. Hannigan hits a high fly ball, shallow left center. Long run for Elmore, a long run for Schwarber. It's off the glove of Schwarber as he tried to make a diving play. 3 runs will score, and the Rockies lead 6-1.
Those highlights are courtesy of The Score. Pat and Ron on the call.
They'll be on the call for game two of this doubleheader. We'll have that for you here on The Score starting at 7:05. I'm Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until then. Reminder, tomorrow, if you're out west, we love real-time sports. We're going to be out there tomorrow after the Cubs game is done. It's a 2:10 first pitch. If there's no delays, I expect we'll get on the air around like 6:30 or so tomorrow. But real-time sports is going to be a Sam Adams broadcast. 11:20 West Devon. I'll tell you this. They have incredible pizza at Real Time Sports. Whenever we go there, I try not to get it. I'm like, oh, let me try something else on the menu. And then it's like, why would you do that? You know that the pizza is great. So just get the pizza. Also, they make fresh popcorn. Oh, smells so good. And they have a Ms. Pac-Man machine. So I will be all about that. While I was in Las Vegas, I played what they say is the world's largest Pac-Man. But isn't there one at level 257 out in the burbs that's supposed to be the largest? Anyway, I did that the first night instead of gambling, which was a great idea. Here's $5 to entertain yourself for an hour instead of giving up $500 at the blackjack table. I highly recommend that when you can. But I will say, the Vegas trip, pretty good overall, if you know what I mean. All right, I promised you something, and I want to deliver on that promise. People are texting in about the Cubs starting pitching, and I'm guessing that it's Cubs fans that are saying this, but some people are saying the Cubs should make a trade for Yu Darvish. 563 text says, my thoughts were, what would it take Jose Quintana for Javi Baez? What else would it take? Another texter saying, Cubs trade some of that young talent for Jose Quintana. Helps both the Cubs and the Sox. 708 texter, how about a Schwarber for Quintana trade? 219 texter, Baez for Quintana. So I think that there are a lot of Cubs fans that are like, this is not going the way that we expected this thing to go. So let's figure out a way to get better. Jose Quintana would be a great addition. He's still under salary control. He's a really good pitcher, and you have the assets to get him. One of the things that made me upset last year is when there was a story out there that the White Sox would not consider doing business with the Cubs. They debunked that story, and it went a little bit further than that today. Rick Hahn talked because, you know, the White Sox came back off a road trip. A lot of people want to talk about Yoan Moncada, which I'll get to in a little bit. But here's what Hahn said about the idea of maybe making a trade with the Cubs.
We've been over this a lot and probably going to have to be over it a lot over the next several years, and I get it. But we are, any deal we make is about maximizing the future of the White Sox. We are open to business with all 29 other clubs. I think the best evidence I can probably point to that is simply our willingness to do trades within our division, which has a far, far greater impact on our ability to compete than doing a deal with a team in the other league, just because we happen to share, you know, proximity to them geographically. So there's zero issue doing a deal with the Cubs or any of the other 28 teams after them. We're about putting the White Sox in the best position, and hopefully throughout our trades, both sides wind up winners.
That's what I want to hear. As a White Sox fan, that's exactly what I want to hear, that you're open for business. And if that means you got to do a trade with Theo and Jed, go for it. The White Sox minor league system looks really good right now after the Sale and Eaton trades. Moncada's the number one prospect in baseball. And like I said, we'll get to him in a minute. But if it helps the White Sox and in turn maybe helps the Cubs, I am all for it. And maybe, looking at the Cubs situation, the White Sox find themselves in a better position to deal with them than they would have in December or January. It's something to watch. I still think it's unlikely, but the door's open. The phone lines are open. Like here, 312-644-6767, Antioch and James. Hey, James, you're on the score.
Evening, Loho. You were talking about Arrieta earlier and his deterioration over the last year or so. And I remember listening to an interview with him last year, and I know he said he had dialed back his off-season regimen between the 2015 and 2016 season. I'm wondering, with the shortened off-season this past year, if that was maybe the case again, and that's why we're seeing this low velocity from him, because his age, the guy had roughly the same velocity his entire career, and at this age you shouldn't see that kind of dip. And the fact that you saw the decline as the season progressed last year, to me that's the only thing that really makes any sense.
It's one of the things that I try to pay attention to. Usage. Jake Arrieta has been used and abused over the last couple of years. He's pitched deep into postseasons. He's thrown a ton of innings in the last couple of years. It makes sense to me that a guy would have, and it doesn't mean that his velocity is going to stay down, but it does make sense to me that his velocity would at least initially go down in the first maybe 2 months of the season. Look at the innings jump that Jake Arrieta made, okay? 100 innings in 2010, 119 in 2011, 114 in 2012. In 2013, 75 total innings. He's with the Cubs now. The next year, 156 in 2014. Then a huge jump in 2015. 229 before we count the postseason innings that he threw. And then last year, 197, before we count the postseason innings. It makes sense that you might see a guy struggle with command and or velocity because of that. I've talked about it before, but I'll do it after a scoreboard update. I had a conversation with John Lester about this last year. And I'll tell you what he told me about your offseason after Shep's done with the scoreboard update. Thank you, Maddie. The Chicago Baseball Game Day schedule is presented by Global Granite and Marble. The Cubs take on the Rockies tonight at 7:05. We'll have that game for you here on the score. The White Sox are hosting Minnesota over on the South Side. That's today's Chicago baseball schedule, brought to you by Global Granite and Marble. Time for new countertops. Let the experienced sales and design staff at Global Granite and Marble out in Niles help you find the perfect stone for your project. Visit their website at globalgranite.com. So last year when I was out at spring training, I was really interested with the guys that had logged so many innings that year on what they do in their offseason. So we got to talk with John Lester. I think it was one of his it starts, you know, the pitchers at spring training, they finish their start, they leave, right? So we got the chance to talk to him, and I asked him about that because he's got World Series experience. He's pitched deep into the postseason before, and really he was the guy before they had brought in Lackey that had the experience of doing it. So I asked him about it. Here's what he had to say about that.
I think every year's different. I think you have to look at every year and sit back and really evaluate kind of how you are physically. You know, in 13, I felt like I was in a good place physically, so I didn't feel like I needed to change anything as far as my off-season workout. You know, last year, kind of the same thing. You know, I got off to a slow start, so I think that helped me later in the year. I didn't have the amount of innings that you know, maybe I should have or would have normally to get into that postseason. So I think every year is different. Every year you got to look at it as an individual and go, okay, yeah, I was battling this, or, you know, maybe I should hit my legs a little bit more or take my legs a little bit less, or maybe I should stretch more or whatever. I think each individual year is just so different to really sit back and make sure you evaluate it and see where you're at physically. Then make an educated decision on, okay, maybe I should take an extra week off, or, you know what, maybe I need to stretch a little bit more, whatever. Just, you know, I think each individual year is so unique, and each individual offseason is so unique that you have to kind of look at it and get together with people and try to figure out what you need to improve on, or take that extra week, or don't take it and just get back in the swing of things.
I think that's a really thoughtful answer from Lester, that You have to figure all of this stuff out. And maybe you're figuring it out on the fly if you're Jake Arrieta. I hope that he, over the last couple of years, has leaned on Lester and Lackey for their knowledge of how to prepare oneself for next season after a big innings jump. But I just wanted you to hear that because I thought that that was a well-said way to look at it if you're a pitcher. 312-644-6767, Wrigleyville and Crawley. Hey, Crawley, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I thought it's funny you were talking about Vegas because, you know, I know Jake Arrieta gambled on himself. I know the Cubs offered him a pretty decent contract, but he was looking for Scherzer-style money, and now I'm looking. That was a little while ago. It seems like you said, ever since probably about the All-Star break last year, you just kind of see guys are hitting him better. He's just not striking, putting guys away like he used to. And I'm just wondering if later on this is going to eventually come back to bite him a little bit when it comes time for that new paper because, you know, I just don't see the dominance. Even when he has a quote-unquote good Jake game, it's something where he goes maybe 5-6 innings and he's throwing a heck of a lot of pitches and he has to turn it over to the bullpen. I don't remember, you know, how long ago it's been since he's finished the game up real quick, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But you're also talking about the possibility of a deal with the White Sox. I mean, that'd be nice if it happens. The other one that interests me is maybe a possibility that I keep hearing is Johnny Cueto in San Fran. Their season's taken a real bad turn for the worse, and that would be an interesting name to see over in the north side.
Yeah, it took a bad turn because Mr. All Go decided he'd get on a dirt bike and fell off his dirt bike, and now he can't pitch. Johnny Cueto, by the way, on the struggle bus a little bit this year. 4.5 ERA for him so far this season. But still striking folks out. I think that every idea, for the most part, let me correct that. For the most part, every idea that you're having about how to fix the Cubs from a starting pitching standpoint makes sense. The Cubs have positional player assets that they have built up over the last 5 years. They have assets that are coveted by other teams that can help other teams build up their minor league and major league roster. It, depending on what they think, that's the other part of this. The Cubs may look at themselves this year and go, we ain't got it. Now, that's not something that you think about at game 32 of a season. That's something that you think about around game 85 of a season where you go, I don't know if adding anything will help us. Now, maybe you want to get a jump on the market. If you're Theo Epstein, you're thinking there's going to be other teams that are going to think they're contenders that want to get starting pitching. Do we wait until it gets close to the trade deadline and there are more suitors at the table? Or do we identify a guy that we want and go to that team right now and say, look, you know what we got. We got guys at the major league level that you probably want, and we got guys at the minor league level that I know you want. So where's Wayne Brady? Let's make a deal. Let's go out to Galesburg and talk with Sam. Hey, Sam, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, how are you tonight?
I'm well. What's on your mind?
Okay, first and foremost, I listen to you every night. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate you listening.
All right. What I have is what the Cubs should do.
Okay.
One, trade Javier Baez, Justin Graham to the White Sox for Jose Quintana.
I'm going to want more if I'm Rick Hahn.
Huh?
If I'm Rick Hahn, I want more than that.
Well, then you give them the top prospect that in the farm system.
Oh, okay.
Great. Three players for one.
Ian Happ, let's go.
Reason being, it puts Ben Zobrist back at second base, puts Jason Hayward back in right field where he naturally plays, Albert Almora Jr., in center.
Yeah, guess what?
He deserves to be an everyday player.
Guess what, Sam? If I'm Rick Hahn, I'm not. But if I'm Rick Hahn, Albert Almora is a guy that's on my list.
I would not get rid of Albert Almora Jr., period, because he's going to be an all-star for many years.
Exactly. And you're going to get a start. Hey, I'll take – how about this? How about we make a deal right here? Albert Almora and Ian Happ.
No.
No? Oh, no. Come on, Sam. Deal. What a winner. What?
How bad do you want it?
Yeah. How bad do you want it? And throw in a sweetener like Schwarber. I love the idea of Rick Hahn actually having leverage. Like, oh, hey, Theo. Like, the phone rings. Hey, Theo. What's going on, man? What's happening over there on the north side? Well, we could use a little bit of starting pitching. Yeah, that's what I thought. So, listen, Quintana's not available. I mean, I know that's probably can I interest you in a disabled list as Carlos Rodon? That's not going to help you? No? Can I interest you in James Shields? Actually, at that point, Rick would hear this. Because they don't want that. But it would be nice. I see Rick Hahn like sitting in his office, rubbing his hands like Birdman. Now, just waiting. For someone to call him about Quintana, like, oh. Rick, Theo Epstein of the Cubs is on line one. Oh, okay.
Tell him I'm busy.
Rubs hands like Birdman. The White Sox have some other stuff going on, too. As you may know, the number one prospect in the game, Yoan Moncada, is tearing things up. Their general manager talked about him and when you might see him at the major league level. I'll share that with you next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Racked into left field, a base hit. Gonzalez around third, heading home. The throw by Schwarber to the plate. Good throw. He got him. Beautiful throw by Kyle Schwarber. Big play.
It's a nice play by Kyle Schwarber, and he's giving you a couple of those over the last week, which is good news. See him getting comfortable out there in left field, hopefully. There was the ball that dropped between him and Almora. I heard JD talking about it, and I thought it was a really good point by him, saying that Coors Field is one of those places where you think you have to play deeper, but you actually need to play more shallow. Now, I never thought about it in that context, but it made a lot of sense to me that at Coors, if a ball's gone, it's gone. There's not a lot of like, oh, well, that ball might get out. It's gone. So maybe play a little bit more shallow so you can get to those in-between balls. And quite honestly, I'd rather let a ball drop between Almora and Schwarber than those two dudes run into each other and you have what happened last year with Schwarber. If it means losing one game, great. To save Schwarber for a whole season, then do that. Err on the side of caution. Totally okay with that. Talking about the Cubs, if you'd like to jump in, 312-644-6767. We're also talking about the White Sox. Rick Hahn spoke today over on the South Side, and if you hadn't been paying attention, although clearly you have, did you know that Comcast is showing Charlotte games? I think they're scheduled to show 10 games. That's crazy to me. That people are, you look at the interest that was had in the minors for Cubs fans while they were watching their team get good. I like that you're seeing similar responses, that people are paying attention to the box scores and looking at what Michael Kopech is doing and Moncada and trying to figure out, you know, what's the ETA on these guys. Moncada, by the way, was the minor league player of the week last week, a week where he went 11 for 22 with two homers, eight runs, and five walks. So far this season, he's got a slash line of 345, 419, and 549. And back in the spring, he was 317, 391, 683. This is clearly a guy who is ready for the major leagues. This is also clearly a guy who is not coming to the major leagues just yet, because you want to keep as much service time as possible, and I'm for that as well. But there's more to it than that. At least according to White Sox general manager Rick Hahn. Here's what he said about the idea of bringing up Moncada and why he's not here yet.
He's made a great deal of progress since the end of spring. There were a few specific elements on the defensive side of the ball, as well as a few on the at the plate that we wanted to see progress with, and that specifically Ricky and Super Joe were working with him here, and then once he got reassigned, Mark and Vance Law and Andy Tomberlin were all working with him once he was with Charlotte. He has responded to that. He has shown a fair amount of progress in each of those areas that we've asked of him. That said, we want to see that over an extended period of time. It's awfully important, I think, to not lose sight of the fact that this is a 21-year-old player. This is one who was not playing in the States 2 years ago as of right now. It's a guy who has fewer than, I want to say, about 325 or so plate appearances above A ball. So we think the world of his talent. We think the world of his future, and we think he's responding to the challenges we've put ahead of him. But we're not going to rush this. As satisfying as it may be for all of us with the organization to see him out there even tonight at the big league level, because it gives you that sort of shot in the arm and shows you that, hey, there's progress in this rebuild, and look at this tangible sign right here. That's not in the long-term interest of Yoan Moncada or the club. He'll be here when he answers all the questions that we have for him from a developmental standpoint at the minor league level. He's doing a pretty darn good job thus far answering some of those questions, but again, there's benefit to letting him fully answer all those and continue his repetitions at that level until that next stage of his development takes place here in Chicago.
Can I just go on the record right now that our celebrations over on the south side for when Moncada hits a home run is we throw Twinkies? What do you think? Is it which school is it? Is it, oh man, why am I blanking on the school? The school that threw tortillas on the court for the first three? Is it Pacific, maybe, that did that? Where they hit a three and then all of a sudden there's tortillas on the court. It's like, you need to clean that up.
Texas Tech.
Is it Texas Tech? I thought it was one of the California schools that did that. Like UC Irvine or one of those places that, oh, three-pointer, tortillas on the floor. Moncada hits a home run, Twinkies. Because he's a big Twinkie eater, or at least he was. And I can't be mad at him for that.
UC Santa Barbara.
That's the banana slugs, right? Pulp Fiction. They throw tortillas on the floor. I say we throw Twinkies. When he gets here, at least for the first one, everyone got to come to the game with Twinkies. At least for that first home run, even if we all get kicked out, Moncada hits a home run, we throw Twinkies. Who's with me? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Lockport and Tom. Hey, Tom, you're on the score.
Hi, Lawrence. You know, I would trade Quintana and Gonzalez and maybe somebody like Fulmer or maybe Dunning for Amara Jr. and Baez.
Say that one more time, Tom.
I'm sorry. I talked a little quick.
No. I just want to try and really grasp the concept.
Well, you got an all-star pitcher in Quintana.
Mm-hmm.
And Gonzalez would be your number 4 or 5 for the Cubs, right?
Okay. So you're saying then, package both those guys?
Yes.
All right. Four for who again?
Javi Baez and Amara Jr.
I want more. I'm Rick Hahn, I want more. Andy and App. One more. Power! Power! Unlimited power! That's what I want. Miguel Gonzalez has been a really nice acquisition by the White Sox. He's done good work for them as a starter. That's actually, maybe that's a move that doesn't cost you as much if you're looking at it from the Cubs' perspective. But I want more. Rubs hands like Birdman. Yeah, it's Santa Cruz, not Santa Barbara, Tony. Acting executive producer, Tony Gill. Yeah, the Gauchos. They throw tortillas on the floor.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Alumni UC Santa Barbara throwing tortillas. I'm looking at the tradition.
Santa Barbara or Santa Cruz?
Santa Barbara.
Oh, all right, so it is Santa Barbara. So wait, what are they? Santa Barbara or the Gauchos? Is that what the text was telling me?
Yeah.
All right, so Santa Cruz is the Banana Slugs. And the Gauchos are Santa Barbara. But it's Santa Barbara who throws the tortillas onto the floor. Yes. They do have churros over there on 35th and Shields. Maybe Moncada hits that first home run and we throw churros. Don't throw the churros. Don't throw the churros. Hand me the churros. Man, when I was in Vegas, H.O., the restaurant, the MGM, that's where all the fight stuff was. I had a churro with a caramel sauce that was made with goat's milk. Oh, my God. Was it amazing. I ate real good, man. Kraft steak, the meal there. Every now and again, you got to splurge. You got to spoil yourself, boys. You got to spoil yourself. Occasionally. The Chicago baseball game day schedule is presented by the Power Shares Series. The Cubs take on the Rockies in about 10 minutes, and the White Sox are going to play the Twins in about 10 minutes. That's today's Chicago baseball schedule brought to you by the Power Shares Series. See tennis legends John McEnroe, Andy Roddick, Jim Courier, and they found Mark Philippoussis. They're going to compete May 17th at UIC Pavilion. Tickets and VIP packages are available at powersharesseries.com and ticketmaster.com. We'll come back, finish up the show, get you ready for Cubs-Rockies Game 2, which is coming up here on The Score. This hour of the show is being brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. Here's the lineup for tonight. Ben Zobrist will lead off, and I'm wondering how long that experiment works. We'll lead off and play left field for the Cubs. Chris Bryant will bat second and play right field again. Anthony Rizzo at first base. Candelario Jaimer, am I saying that right? He's going to play third. Addison Russell at shortstop, batting fifth. Javi Baez playing second, batting sixth. Wilson Contreras is your catcher. He will bat seventh. John Lackey will bat eighth and pitch. And Albert Almora Jr. will play center field and bat ninth. So that's your lineup for tonight. John Lackey rocking that 5.14 ERA. Let's see if he can make it out of the first inning. That would probably be good. Be a good start. Tomorrow, the show is going to be at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It's the Sam Adams broadcast. We're really looking forward to it. If you're out that way, come by. The food's going to be good. The beer's going to be cold. And hopefully the show will be good, too. I'm going to have the rest of the night to myself. Shout out to Southside Twig, Sockside Twig, who told me that goat's milk caramel is called cajeta. Loved it. I got pictures of it up on my Instagram. At Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find everything that happened in Vegas that I didn't let stay in Vegas. Cubs baseball is next. Have a great night. See you tomorrow at 6 o'clock or so from Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.